to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis, serving the entire Sacramento Valley, radiating excellent, thoughtful talk and fascinating music at 9,800 watts. Thanks very much for tuning in on a Wednesday afternoon at 5 o'clock. My name is Andy Jones, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Fall is almost upon us. You might have noticed that we just enjoyed Labor Day. And as a result, it's time for you to start thinking about what UC Davis Theater and Dance Productions you're going to add to your calendar. We're going to make a pitch this afternoon for a show that opens on Thursday, September 16th, and plays through Sunday, September 25th, at the main theater at UC Davis. It's called the 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. We have, here in the studio, the director slash choreographer of this show, and multiple actors who you'll get to see on stage if you're lucky enough to see one of these productions. So stick around for that, because I know that you will enjoy the conversations that ensue. At the end of the program, I've got some recorded poetry, and we may hear from one of our far-flung poetry correspondents. That and the jazz bumper music that you've come to expect during the interruptions, the interregnums, if you will, between the conversations that we have here about poetry and technology on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS. I'd like to remind you that this is just one of 10 public affairs programs that you can hear Monday through Friday on this radio station. Shows with titles such as It's About You, This Week in Science, and Radio Parallax. If you'd like to find out more, and if you'd like to read some of the KDVS Public Affairs blog, then point your browser at kdvs.org. Well, the UC Davis Department of Theater and Dance is presenting the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, where six teens battle for glory in songs. For glory with songs, including I'm Not That Smart, the I Love You song, and Pandemonium. We're going to find out more about this show from the director, choreographer, and three of its stars, but I want to remind you right up front that it starts a week from tomorrow, September 16th, and runs through Sunday, September 25th. That's at the Main Theater here on the UC Davis campus. My first guest this afternoon is Mindy Cooper. She's the director choreographer of the UC Davis Department of Theater and Dance's show, the 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. And she has twice held the title of UC Davis Granada Artist in Residence. Her successful stagings of Oklahoma at the Mondavi Center's Jackson Hall and You're in Town, the musical at Main Theater, reflect her extensive Broadway background as director, choreographer, and performer. I bet some of you have seen some of those shows and are very interested to know that I have Mindy Cooper right here in the studio. Mindy, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So, welcome back as our Granada Artist in Residence. You did it once and it had certain appeals. Tell us what brought you back to UC Davis and what are some of the joys and challenges of doing the work that you do as Granada Artist in Residence?
Well, the Granada Artist in Residence program is kind of wonderful for the students because it brings in people in the field. And the dramatic arts majors then get four working professionals once every semester to set a work, create a piece on them, and so that's kind of wonderful. When the last time I was here was to do Oklahoma at the Mondavi, and it was in many ways a large success because the community came out for a university production, and we loved that. So we sat down and said, okay, well, what can we do? You know, that was a great thing that the students got to perform in Mondavi and the community came out, and we hatched this idea of a summer intensive. A lot of the students on campus want more musical theater,
right.
But the curriculum only really calls for a musical every other year. So fantastic Timothy Orr and I and my husband David Grenke, who is the chair of the dance theater department, came up with this idea to bring me back in and do this summer intensive where the classes were, in essence, rehearsals for a musical that would go, so rehearse during the summer session and go up in the fall.
Excellent. And did you choose the play, and can you tell us more about the 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee?
We had a big meeting. A lot of people came to the meeting to decide what would be appropriate and good. I was very much in favor of what we call Spelling Bee because it's a great show. It's funny. It's touching. It has great messages. The composer is one of the living geniuses of the American musical theater today, William Finn. And I knew that it had its basis in improvisation. When it was created first in the early 2000s, it was started at an improv company called The Farm. So I knew its roots were in improvisation, and I knew that it would be right for our students. When I've worked on them, I find that they need pride of ownership and let students create something. We live in this YouTube era where I think young performers can mimic too often, and mm-hmm. I demand that young performers try not to mimic something that they've seen. Just create it new and fresh from the ground up. So all things told, I thought this would be a very, very good project because I could work on their improvisational skills and they could own, you know, what they've created.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, this is the voice of Mindy Cooper that you hear. She's our current UC Davis Granada Artist in Residence, and she's the director and choreographer of a new show, colloquially around here called Spelling Bee, the full title, the 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. It opens a week from tomorrow on the 16th of September and runs to the 25th at the Main Theater at UC Davis. So you talked about the satisfaction you had that so many people came out to see Oklahoma at the Mondavi Center. It's a well-known show. I was interested in what you were saying about imitation because I think that Whereas Oklahoma, many people might be aware of the movie, may have seen it, mm-hmm. would certainly know some of the songs if they care about musical theater. With Spelling Bee, a lot of people probably have Glee on their mind and would probably wonder if this is a crafty placement of this particular play at this particular time because of the popularity of this TV show Glee, which touches upon some similar themes with teenagers going up on stage mm-hmm. And singing songs. This doesn't happen in a typical Spelling Bee, but it'll happen in mm-hmm. your show. So I'm wondering if, and I should say, in the interest of full disclosure, I don't watch a lot of TV. I haven't seen the show Glee, but I know something about it. So I'm wondering if that came up in any of the conversations that you had with your student actors in terms of placement of this particular show and generating interest for it.
Well, I will say that Glee and a lot, you know, movie musicals back, you know, in demand are wonderful things. Mm-hmm. I've spent 30 years as a part of the Broadway community as a performer and a director choreographer, and I love the fact that people are liking musicals again.
Yeah.
You know, there was a time when musicals were all the rage, you know, the 50s and 60s, and then it sort of fell out of favor, and we had all the British imports. And I'm delighted that we now live in a little bit of an era where we're embracing the musical again and smart musicals.
Right.
So I was jumping on the perhaps Glee bandwagon is not such a bad thing. If Americans are sitting at home and turning on the TV and listening to good songs set, you know, telling stories, I think that's fantastic. And so I'm delighted that we can now sort of bring, even to perhaps a larger audience, if there's three people that come each night that wouldn't have seen a musical except for the fact that they watched Glee last week and went, that's kind of fun. It's cool again to sing and dance and, you know, tell a story through your body and,
right.
and song. Yeah.
Great. Well, we're going to take a quick musical and public service announcement break. But when we return, I'm going to ask Mindy to tell us a little bit more about the improvisational elements of the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. And then we will also introduce to you all the three actors who are here in studio who are part of this production. You're listening to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. My name is Andy Jones, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Thank you.
The Linux Users Group of Davis, or LUGOD, is a nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting the Linux computer operating system and other open source products as an alternative to expensive, proprietary, and monopolistic software. LUGOD meets in Davis on the first Tuesday and third Monday of each month. For more information, visit LUGOD's website at lugod.org or contact Bill Kendrick at 530-759-1019 or via email at root@lugod.org.
Listening to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. My name is Andy Jones, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We're talking about opportunities, cultural opportunities for you next week. One that we're going to focus on today is that on Thursday, September 16th, there will be a presentation of the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. That'll be at the main theater, and that happens through Sunday, September 25th. I'll make sure to share with you some of the exact dates and times so that you can mark it on your calendar. If you wanted to see Spelling Bee later in the week, I wanted to remind you that a week from tomorrow is also Poetry Night. It is an event happening at the John Itzulis Gallery, which is at 521 First Street, at First and E Streets in downtown Davis. And Alan Botsford will be reading from his new book that is filled with poems that are inspired by Walt Whitman. There are also essays and one-act plays in that book, if I remember correctly. Alan Botsford will be visiting us from Yokohama, Japan, where he is a professor of poetry. And he is this presentation at Poetry Night at the John Itzulis Gallery will be part of his ongoing support of that new book. If you want to find out more, point your browser at poetryindavis.com. I'm joined here this afternoon with some of the folks who have put together the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, and we're going to hear from Tim Orr, Lizzie Tremaine, and Jazz Trice in just a moment. But first, let's hear from Mindy Cooper some more about the improvisational elements of this particular show. Sometimes improvisation means that the show can be a little bit different every week because the actors are doing different things. Sometimes it involves enough audience participation or interaction that actually changes the show because you never know what the audience will do or say. I'm wondering if you could characterize how improvisation works for this version of Spelling Bee.
Good question. This show will be different every night. Mm-hmm. We in the script, we employ four audience volunteers who are found before the show and not in any way rehearsed. They're just asked if they're good spellers, and they're told to, if your name is called, please come to the stage, and if you're given a word, please ask for the definition and use in a sentence. So they are not rehearsed, and because of that, there will be, the comedy ensues. You can picture where that's going.
Right.
So it is a different show every night. And we are at the mercy and liberty of fantastic volunteers, audience members. But the roots of the show being an improvisation when I set out to direct this, I knew that we would do a lot of improvisational work as our foundation. So the first 2 weeks of classes, I sort of staged improv-based exercises that worked and freed the actors. For instance, we did some mock spelling bees. And out of that grew some of the word choices that we will use for our spelling bees on stage. The ones that there are many, many scripted, but then there are appendixes of words you can use. But most of the words we've chosen to use are ones that came out of our improvs, where I said to everybody, bring in 5 easy words, 5 medium words, 5 hard words, and write, you know, the definition and make up a fantastic sentence. And ones we liked, we've kept. We did 2 junior high school performances today. I don't know if your child was at one of them.
Oh, yeah.
But and they loved, we did sort of a truncated 25-minute, you know, poo-poo platter sampling of the show. And we used some of our fantastic words, and they went over very well. So it is great because you have to be in the moment, very, very present, because it's wildly new every night within the sort of framework.
And that's part of the side of the pleasure and the surprise of the audience goer as well.
Absolutely.
Because the audience member knows, I'm sure, that that at least 4 of the people who may be up on stage were not well trained for this particular performance. And so they say, well, you know, there but for the grace of God might stand I. Yeah.
Yes, and it is part of the charm and part of the humor, and we've taken it and run with it. We will have some guest volunteers that I don't know if I'm at liberty to divulge just yet, but upper echelon at the university, in the community of Davis and also Sacramento. So we have sort of coerced some very well-known people around here to be audience volunteers.
So there'll be some celebrity plants, basically.
Oh, there you go.
Who will come in, and if they stumble, it'll be comic tragic. Right, because of the fact that you've got this great person who has this flaw, and the flaw is presented to everyone, and they fall from spelling grace.
Well, yeah, exactly. We have pitched it to them that there's nothing humiliating going on. The words that they can't spell well, no one can spell very well.
Right.
So we're not out there to humiliate anybody.
Well, and I think that someone who would be humiliated by such a thing would probably perhaps not be a very good public official or leader, because you have to be self-deprecating to a certain extent to be
Absolutely.
An effective leader. Mm-hmm. And so we'll see some examples of that on stage starting a week from tonight. And Mindy, let me ask if you're the person who I should ask for some of the details. We can't mention prices on the air, but what are the show times and what are the exact days of the of this particular show?
So it opens the 16th, which is next Thursday. It plays Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 8 o'clock.
Right.
And then a Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock. And then I think it's the exact same thing the next week. So the next Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 8 o'clock curtain. And then we close on the Sunday, the 25th, at a 2 o'clock matinee.
I think that's appropriate for some of the students who might be available to see the show, because it's from my experience of 20 years teaching at the university that students begin their weekends on a Thursday evening, and then they just continue right until Sunday, and sometimes until Monday when they come into my classroom. And so this is an appropriate opportunity for them. Mm-hmm. That if it's a long weekend for you students, then you've got an opportunity to see this show. if it's a weekend day, starting with Thursday, then you might want to check this out. All right, good. Well, thank you, Mindy. We will come back to you, but I want to talk to some of the people who you've brought with you this afternoon, starting with Tim Orr. Those of you who have seen many productions at UC Davis over the last couple of years may have seen Tim Orr on stage. He's an actor, composer, and theater lecturer in California and Colorado, and he's appeared at numerous theaters across the United States. For 5 years, he was a resident artist with the Foothill Theater Company, acting, writing, composing, and producing a literal mountain of theater with artists from all over the world. For 3 seasons, he has appeared at the Colorado Shakespeare Festival, Measure for Measure, Fantastics, Hamlet, Two Gentlemen of Verona, A Child's Christmas in Wales, and A Christmas Carol. Recent composing credits include songs and incidental music for Colorado Shakespeare Festival, Theater First in Oakland, Lake Tahoe Shakespeare Festival, and the Foothill Theater Company. He teaches acting and musical theater at UC Davis, Colorado University at Boulder, and is a faculty member of the Berklee Repertory School of Theater. Timothy holds degrees in music, arts management, and a Master of Fine Arts degree in acting from UC Davis. So, that's a lot. Tim Orr, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. And for people who might not yet recognize your voice, why don't you remind us of some of the productions that you've participated in here at UC Davis?
Here at UC Davis, I was in Fate and Spinoza, the Rindy Eckert piece, who was the Granada Artist in Residence that year. Great guy, great experience. I did a production of Measure for Measure in the department as well, and I was in Oklahoma with Mindy Cooper.
Yeah. I saw all three of those, so that's where I've seen you on stage. So wonderful. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Tell me about your role with this particular play and how your working relationship evolved, working with Mindy in terms of the ways that you divided up a lot of the directing duties with this show.
Sure. I have to brag about the department for a minute first. The whole idea came about in that all the facilities are and the schedule and the budget is really impacted during the school year here on campus. There's so little time to create anything new, and yet we have all of this time and availability in the summer, but the campus is rather empty and the town is rather empty. So the chair of the theater department, David Granke, had the idea of why not rehearsing and creating something in the summer that opens the first week of school being back in, and that way we benefit from both. And that's where the idea came of creating this summer musical theater intensive, which has been very successful in its first year. Then with Dave and Mindy and myself at the table, we figured that the best way to make this successful both as an artistic product but also as curriculum, as real training, would be to divide the day into class training technique session in the morning, and then they go to rehearsal in the afternoon. And in the off hours, evenings and early mornings, everybody is putting in hours in some other department. Costumes, lighting, sets, administrative departments, marketing, so that they get a real sense of what it means to be in a repertory company where you're learning the whole trade and you're learning from the ground up. This is how actors used to get their training years ago, before there were theater departments on a campus.
Right. And by that, it sounds like you mean that there's more specialization, whereas with this particular summer production, a lot of people came in and played lots of different roles and got to try out different parts of what it means to be part of a theater company.
Exactly. And you need to know how every part of the machine works at a theater company.
So what sort of discoveries did you make this summer, either from your students or from working with Mindy?
Oh, gosh. Too many to realize, to really spit out. One of the biggest ones was we felt that musical theater gets a bad rap a lot of the time or doesn't get the same kind of importance and dignity that straight plays or Shakespeare does. And I don't know where that comes from. People think, oh, it's going to be really campy or it's not for me or it's all light and fluffy type of stuff. And we wanted this to be the opportunity to really train and to really teach acting for musical theater and then apply it to a production. All of this will culminate into a full production. So we've been using real acting technique that you would teach this in any classroom, the way that you would for Shakespeare or anything else, and applying it to musical theater. And I've learned that it's been surprisingly successful. I mean, good old-fashioned Stanislavski technique, applying it to musical theater, works great.
Yeah.
It works surprisingly well. That was a big eye-opener for me.
Excellent. And I'm curious to know your own background with music. And I should say, in the interest of full disclosure, my father was a theater director and my stepmother is an actress.
Mm.
And she would be the first person to say that her lack of musical ability closed off certain role possibilities as an actress, but that she found great joy later as a director in directing musical shows where she could bring out the abilities of others.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, with what you say about Stanislavski and working in musical theater, that you probably have not done as much musical theater as you have straight theater, if we can call it that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm wondering what you discovered about music in particular and how you're able to lead with how you chose to lead with regard to your own musical talents or bringing out those of others.
You know, I'm still, even this summer, many disparate threads of knowledge and experience in my past are right now coming together, and it is... Even in this summer, I'm seeing how everything fits together. But my undergrad degree is in music,
mm-hmm.
And not in theater. So I would consider myself an actor who sings.
Yeah.
I'm not a singer. And I'm an okay piano player, but not at the level where I should be playing in a pit orchestra or anything like that. But I know what I like when I see it and what I don't like and what needs to change, and I can speak the same language as the conductor.
Right.
And as the or a musician in the pit, and I can also speak the same language as the director and the language that the actors will understand. So I'm right now in my own brain finding a new language of how all those things fit together.
So you're like one of those translators at the UN who can speak the languages of these multiple parties and help them communicate.
And to keep from bombing one another.
Absolutely. Very important. Well, I'm sure there'll be no bombing with this particular show. The show we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, is the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. And it opens a week from tomorrow at the main theater right here on campus, the University of California at Davis. If you'd like to find out more, including about how you can get tickets, then point your web browser at theateranddance.ucdavis.edu. Is that right? Is that the right website? Is that a good place for them to go?
Yes.
They're nodding with a certain amount of conviction. We are going to take a quick break. We're going to hear a little bit of music ourselves. And then when we come back, we're going to hear from Lizzie Tremaine and Jazz Trice, both in the cast of the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, which opens next week on campus. You're listening to KDVS, and this is Dr. Randy's Poetry and Technology Hour. This is Dr. Andy with an important message. Mita Subaru reminds you that children are back at school. Beware. While headed to and from school, they're often distracted by friends and aren't always thinking about traffic hazards. So drive carefully, watch out for them. They may not be watching out for you. Brought to you by Mita Subaru at 2410 Auburn Boulevard in Sacramento. For further information about Mita Subaru, you can reach them at matasubaru.com or 916-486-8000. They care about our children's safety and wish all kids a safe school year. Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We're talking to the directors and two of the cast members of the 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. It's a show put on by the UC Davis Department of Theater and Dance that starts next week on the 16th of September and runs through both next weekend and the weekend after. If you want to find out more about getting tickets, then look for the UC Davis Department of Theater and Dance. I have two of the cast members here. First, you'll hear the voice of Lizzie Tremaine. She plays Olive Ostrovsky in this show, and she's happy to be back with the UC Davis Department of Theater and Dance, where she performed in 2010's Third Eye Theater Festival, as well as in the 2009 production of Oklahoma that we were discussing earlier. Most recently, she appeared as a countercultural drug-loving hippie in Studio 301's wildly successful production of Hair, the American tribal love rock musical. Other favorite roles include Cindy in Suds, Sally in You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, and Sharpay in High School Musical. And Jazz, we'll get to you in a minute, but first, let's introduce everyone to Lizzie Tremaine. Lizzie, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. And so you play Olive Ostrovsky in the 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. Tell me a little bit more about Olive.
Well, Olive is a very quiet girl. She is alone a lot. Her parents are unintentionally neglectful. Her dad is a workaholic, and her mother is away on a spiritual journey in India at the time of this play.
Mm-hmm.
So she finds solace in words, and she has a dictionary at home that she reads constantly. So
she loves her dictionary.
She does love her dictionary. In fact, there's a song referring to the fact that she loves her dictionary very much.
And I know nothing about you, so I don't know how, for instance, obsessive you are, but what did you tap into to try to represent the sort of obsessive focus on a single task that Olive would have to have in order to succeed in a spelling bee?
Well, that's really interesting. When I was in middle school, I actually did read a lot. I constantly read. I would be sitting at school at my desk and have a book under my desk, hoping that the teachers wouldn't notice. And I would go through books very quickly, and I kind of tapped into that a lot because I would stay up till 3 in the morning if that meant finishing my book and not getting a full night's sleep. So
all that book reading, it probably contributed dramatically to your success as a student at the same time that it often sabotaged it through lack of sleep and lack of paying attention in class.
Yeah, I would say that's correct. Yeah.
Okay. And what have been some of your favorite parts of performing in this particular production of Spelling Bee?
Well, the cast is so tight-knit. We've really become an ensemble throughout the summer. We were just talking today at rehearsal at how if someone goes up on a line or stumbles, we just know our characters so well, and we know each other's characters so well that we are there to pick them up. And it's really fantastic that we have, in 6 weeks' time, developed such chemistry as a group.
And that's part two of the improvisational elements that we were discussing earlier, that you all can help each other out through improvisation when need be.
Yes, we are always on our feet, which is great.
Excellent. Yes. In a minute, I think I'm going to ask you to get up on your feet and sing a little bit of a song. But first, let's introduce everyone to Jazz Trice. Jazz is here, and he's a fifth-year super senior majoring in dramatic art with minors in English and psychology. He's performed with UC Davis Theater and
dance as Backward Soldier in Number 5, The Angry Red Drum, Cleomenes in The Winter's Tale, and Jamie Hudson in the self-penned Empty All the Boxes. Credits with Studio 301 Productions include Schroeder and You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, and Hud in Hair. Jazz, welcome to the radio show.
Thank you.
Tell me about Chip Tolentino.
Chip Tolentino, he is here at the Spelling Bee after winning the previous year, so he's the reigning champion of the Putnam County Spelling Bee, and he's really excited to be here again, and he's feeling pretty confident. He did a really good job and went on to nationals last year, so he has the mindset that he has this in the bag, and he's really good at spelling words and loves academia and loves being successful. And so to him, this is a lot of fun and something that he knows he's going to win.
So parts of that sound a little bit like you. You've been here 5 years. You've got a major and two minors.
Mm-hmm.
Did you also have a chip on your shoulder in playing Chip as an actor?
Yes, I did. A lot like Lizzie in junior high and in high school. I love to do everything, and I still do. I try to get my hands on all areas of academics and learn as much as possible. And I, in all honesty, I love winning things and winning science fairs and a contest and always trying to be the best at everything that I was involved in. And so a lot of that is in Chip, that strive to be successful and that strive to be the best at anything that he does or I do.
It sounds like you all fit a lot of learning into the weeks of rehearsal during the summer as well. Tell me about that experience a little bit in terms of the intensive rehearsal and learning schedule.
Mm-hmm. Well, as an actor that's done a lot of shows with the theater department, the intensive was different because when we're usually acting in a show, we show up for rehearsal at night, we're there for 5 hours, and then we go home, and there's not much learning besides staging the show. And the great thing about having Tim and about having the rehearsal process split up into a class portion and a rehearsal portion is that we can learn so much that we would not necessarily have the opportunity to learn in a regular production. We're reading and we're learning from textbooks and we're applying it to the stuff that we're doing with Mindy and with Tim. And that's the draw to the summer intensive that we usually don't get from other shows.
Isn't this how science classes work? We didn't invent anything here, did we? I mean, you have class and then lab.
Right.
That's how biology and chemistry work. And okay. We didn't invent this. We don't take credit.
Going on all over campus.
Yeah.
It has, but not often in theater and dance, right?
No.
So you didn't invent, you just stole very
what all
cleverly.
Do, yeah.
Yes. Excellent. Good. So we were talking about competition before, Jazz, and yet you said in a chivalrous way, Lizzie, why don't you get to be the one to sing on the radio? That was big of you.
I really love Lizzie, and she's a very talented singer, and I would love the opportunity to hear her voice, and so I would definitely love to hear her sing.
As would people at home. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to hear another public service announcement, and then when we return, Lizzie Tremaine, who plays Olive Ostrovsky in the upcoming production of the 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, will share with us a song. You're listening to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We'll be right back with some music.
There are many ways to measure success. For the Shriners, it's the nearly 700,000 children with orthopedic and burn problems that they've helped. This is Ricardo Montalban. For over 80 years, the Shriners have provided state-of-the-art medical care to kids all over North America, totally free of charge. There is a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area. If you know a child that the Shriners might be able to help, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
¶¶
back, everyone, to Dr. Randy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS, 90.3 FM in Davis. You're in for a treat, for Lizzie Tremaine is here, and she's agreed to present to us part of a song from the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee. Lizzie, you play Olive Ostrovsky, and what's the name of the song that you're going to share with us?
This song is called The Dictionary. It's mm-hmm. A chance for Olive to share how much she loves her dictionary.
Excellent. Great. I will adjust the mic to make sure that we can hear you. And I am ready when you are.
Excuse me, ma'am. Could you not sit in that seat? I saved a chair in the fourth row on the aisle. And it may take him a while, but when he gets here, that's his chair. 'Cause my mother's in an ashram in India. I saved a chair for her too, but it's merely symbolic, as daily she cleanses herself in the Ganges. And I live in a house where there's an oversized dictionary that I read as a girl on the toilet.
Excellent.
<Thank you>.
That was Lizzie Tremaine playing Olive Ostrovsky in a sample, a preview, just a taste of the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, a show that opens a week from tomorrow and runs through that weekend, and then starts up again the following Thursday and runs as well through that following weekend. So thanks again, Lizzie. That was wonderful.
No problem.
Very well done. And let me turn to you now, Mindy Cooper, our visiting UC Davis Granada artist in residence, and just ask what sort of parting thoughts or moments of wisdom or reflection that you would like to share with listeners to remind them one more time that they may want to come out and see this show.
Well, it's funny, it's sassy, it's satirical, it's vibrant, it's very, very in the moment, and I think there's something for everybody in it. I do. I'd love to see everybody come out and take away with it whatever you will. The characters go on journeys, and they change and they grow, and there's some beautiful messages that come out of it, all wrapped up in a very, very funny package.
Excellent. And speaking of that package, one of my favorite parts of the lead up to seeing a show with that's put on by UC Davis Department of Theater and Dance is to see if it's announced either in the lobby or in the program that there will be either language or loud noises or nudity. And so I just wanted to ask, because there are going to be many parents who are wondering if this would be an appropriate show for their children. And I know that from reading about the show, there are at least a few parts that would prompt conversations with my daughter Geneva and myself.
Yes.
So I'm wondering if you could say a little bit about that in terms of who should especially be planning to come out to see this show.
Very, very smart, Andy. I rated it PG-13 in the publicity information because it's not a down-and-dirty show. I'm bringing my almost 7-year-old twins to see it.
Mm-hmm.
There might be one song that sparks conversation, that you have to explain a part of the male anatomy and what happens to it when hormones race.
All right. Well, good. That'll be a conversation that some of you parents can now look forward to having if you bring your kids to see the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, starting on the 16th of September and running through to Sunday, September 25th. Mindy Cooper, thanks for bringing this team to tell us about the show and to talk to us about theater and dance here at UC Davis.
Thanks. It was a pleasure speaking with you today.
Same here. And Tim Orr, thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Lizzie Tremaine, I enjoyed your song. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And Jazz Trice, thank you, and I'm sure you'll do a great job with Chip Tolentino.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. We're going to take a quick break, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to hear a little bit more of Art Farmer, who's been providing us music all afternoon for this show. And then we'll be back with the concluding portion of today's edition of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Stick around. This is Dr. Andy of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. I think that we're due for some poetry this afternoon. We're going to hear now a poem from A Century of Recorded Poetry. This is a 2-CD set that I've turned to often in the last decade of doing this radio show. A CD that has dozens and dozens of recorded poems, including one by James Reagan. James Reagan has appeared on this radio show twice, once on the telephone and once live here in the studio. James Reagan has written a half dozen or more books of poetry. He's also very successful as a screenplay author. He worked on the Oscar-winning screenplay of The Deer Hunter. And he's read, perhaps, before the largest audience of any American poet who I've ever met, having read in very large stadia, if that's the plural of stadium, in the Soviet Union, including before Gorbachev, and his friend, the former president of the Czech Republic, Václav Havel. So let's hear now a poem by James Reagan. This one is called The Tent People of Beverly Hills. You're listening to KDBS 90.3 FM in Davis. And here's James Reagan on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
The Tent People of Beverly Hills. Faceless on the Boulevard of Mirrors, north along the flats of Rodeo Drive's stripped bald-head mannequins, they come treading on the fears of high fashion, tents on their backs, and on their cheeks the beach-black tar of tasteless chic, as if to dress were not enough. We would have them wash our backhand slap from their Rimbaud faces, and all through the supple stick-lash wands of their eyes, all through the wind whiskers of fishbone and sour cream curdled by fame, they see along the deli box bins and fruit stalls of Wilshire Boulevard the world in the room of their small walk space. They are never certain whether they are merely asked to fill a role like memory in some thoughtful dream of place, or live always short of major in some dying minor sort of way, as if to live were time enough, we would have them end beyond their means. Hours long they scrabble onto walls and mirrors the words they would like to leave us, the haunted prints of thought falls drifting out of mind's possession, like nostalgia or grief. The world has lost its face. There are no hobo kings or pioneers late to live by, when they lie above the windy steam of sewer grates, dream still and all mind gone, they warm their body holes to sleep. They wake to be awake. In the dreams of many who never took the road to gypsy sorrow, breathing is enough. It is a mistake to fill themselves alone, to fill their sky holes up with dark. There has never been a need for crying. The dying always say, once we move within the final inch of breath, there is no other. There are 1,000,000 tents in the universe with holes we mistake for stars.
I don't know about you, but I'm about to walk over to the Davis Farmers Market and get myself a beverage. So I thought I'd share with you a poem by George Arnold called Beer. Beer by George Arnold. Here with my beer I sit while golden moments flit. Alas, they pass unheeded by, and as they fly, I, being dry, sit idly sipping here my beer. Oh, finer far than fame or riches are the graceful smoke wreaths of this free cigar. Why should I weep, wail, or sigh? What if luck has passed me by? What if my hopes are dead, my pleasures fled? Have I not still my fill of right good cheer, cigars and beer? Go, whining youth, forsooth, go weep and wail, sigh and grow pale, weave melancholy rhymes on the old times, whose joys like shadowy ghosts appear, but leave me to my beer. Gold is dross, love is loss. So, if I gulp my sorrows down, or see them drown in foamy draughts of old nut brown, then do I wear the crown without the cross? Before I let you all go, I'd like to remind you that Sacramento Food Not Bombs is now serving every Sunday at 1:30 p.m. in Cesar Chavez Park on 10th and I Streets in downtown Sacramento. Food Not Bombs provides free vegetarian meals to people in need. To find out how you can help by volunteering or donating goods, email sacdofoodnotbombs@yahoo.com. My name is Andy Jones, and we've come to the end of another edition of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. I'd like to thank my four guests, Mindy Cooper, the current UC Davis Granada Artist in Residence, and Tim Orr. Together, they have directed the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, which starts a week from tomorrow. Jazz Trice and Lizzie Tremaine were here to share with us some of their impressions on this exciting production coming up. I hope that you'll stick around for the great music that's coming up here at KDVS. I'll be at that poetry reading a week from tonight with Alan Botsford. If you want to find out more about that, then visit poetryanddavis.com. Otherwise, I'll see you next week for another edition of Dr. Andy's Poetry.